Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. Last week we were talking about, well, in 1 Kings 13, there was a prophet that was told to go a certain direction without stopping on the way. But an older prophet said to him, an angel told me to bring him back into thy house that he may eat bread and drink water. But it says, but he lied unto him. The older prophet was lying. Well, the younger prophet believed the lie, went in, did something God told him not to do, and then he was basically, God had him killed because of that. A lion killed him because he didn't do what he was told. God had told him and made it clear what he was supposed to do, but the older prophet lied to him and said, you can do something different than what God told me. An angel told me you can do something different than what God said. But that's a lie. We have a lot of people, I think, today, a lot of even preachers, people claim to be preachers of the gospel that'll tell you to do something different than what God says. But they're not telling you the truth. I'm not necessarily saying they're lying. Sometimes people lie. Sometimes people are just self-deceived. If it's different than what God's word says, don't pay any attention to it. I was reading 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. Let me read that again. It says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be condemned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Because people don't have a love for the truth, a proper love for the truth, they are susceptible to believing a lie. If you really have a love for the truth itself, God's truth, you're going to be diligent about studying the Bible for yourself to find out what the truth is. You're not going to take anybody's word for it because you want to please God. And you know that the Bible, specifically for us, the New Testament today, tells us how to please God. If you don't love the truth, you're likely to believe a lie. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 through 15 reads this way. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So even Satan's ministers shall be transformed into what looks like ministers of righteousness. Don't believe a lie. They're going to try to get you to believe a lie. Let me give you an example. Billy Graham is famous for teaching in crusade after crusade that people need to come forward and accept Christ in order to be saved. But in McCall's magazine, January 1978, Graham said, I used to believe that pagans in far-off countries were lost, were going to H-E-L-L, if they did not have the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them. I no longer believe that. I believe that there are other ways of recognizing the existence of God through nature, for instance, and plenty of other opportunities, therefore, of saying yes to God. Now, I think Billy Graham knew that you had to accept Christ, receive Christ to be saved. But I think he bowed down to political correctness pressure. People were saying, but Mr. Graham, if that's so, if you have to accept Christ to be saved, that leaves out the Jews and Muslims. And Billy Graham, I think, cracked under the pressure and said that you can be saved without Christ. There are other ways of recognizing the existence of God through nature, for instance, and plenty of other opportunities, therefore saying yes to God. Well, that's a lie. I don't mean that Billy Graham was lying in the sense that he was doing it on purpose. He could have been, but he could have been self-deceived. But it all amounts to the same thing. In the end, it was false teaching. It is false teaching to say that people can be saved without Christ. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said in John 8, 24, you shall, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So you cannot be saved without Christ. So Jews and Muslims, no matter how zealous they are, no matter how conscientious they are, they're not going to be saved unless they change and accept Christ. Jim from Iowa, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
And is there any place in the Bible that says when you tithe or give money to the church, you should give it to the church that you attend every Sunday?
So I'm turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm going to read for you, Jim, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store if God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." So, of course, the tithe is something. The 10% is a requirement of the Old Testament. I would hope that Christians today would give more than 10%. I would hope they'd give a lot more than that. It says upon the first day of the week, the churches were to have a collection. People were to give into that collection so that then the churches could help the needy saints. And we also know from that same collection, from other passages, that, you know, you could support the preaching of the gospel through supporting financially gospel preachers. So there's a number of ways to spend the money scripturally, number of things to do with the money that's authorized. This is one of the two ways I can think of where how you can get money into the treasury. The other is found at the end of Acts 11, where one church gives to another. Here, the members of the congregation give on the first day of the week to a collection, and it goes into, we might say, what we call church treasury, so that the church can then do its work. Does that answer your question, Jim?
No, my question is really, so the church you go to, should you give them your tithe or your offering or your money instead of to some other church? The church you regularly attend, is that the church you should give your money to?
Well, I would say under normal circumstances, but I could see where that you might have to give it to another church if the church you're attending is starting to spend the money in a way that's not scriptural and you're trying to get them to change. And in the meantime, while you're trying to get them to change, you might give to another congregation in the meantime while you're trying to get this congregation. But yes, under normal circumstances, you're going to try to help. You're going to try to give into the treasury of the church where you're meeting on Sundays.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Jim.
Okay.
If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. Here's another thing that I'd like you to think about what Billy Graham said. He was teaching what's sometimes called the sinner's prayer. And he said, if you'll pray this prayer, then you'll be saved. And here I wrote this one down, or somebody gave me this one. "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name, amen." Now, that prayer, if I understand it, is got false doctrine in it. It's teaching that you can just pray, and a sinner can, and ask God to forgive him, ask God to come into your heart, and you become a Christian without ever being baptized. And that's false. Compare Billy Graham's sinner's prayer, pray this prayer and you're saved, to what Ananias told Saul in Acts 22:16. "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So to get his sins washed away, Saul of Tarsus, of course he later became known as Paul the Apostle, had to be baptized to get his sins washed away. It's not the water that washes away the sins per se, it's the blood of Christ that washes away our sins, 1 John 1:7. But you got to be baptized to get your sins washed away. Acts 22:16. So the sinner's prayer that Billy Graham had everybody pray is not scriptural. It's not scriptural just to pray, a sinner to pray to God and say, "God, come into my life, make me a Christian." You got to be baptized to become a Christian. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16. I don't know how you can make it any clearer than that. You can argue with it all day long, but when you argue against it and say you don't have to be baptized to be saved, you're arguing against Jesus. You may think you're arguing with me, but you're arguing with Jesus. He's the one that said it. In Acts 2:38, Peter told believers. Now remember, these are already believers. They should have been saved according to the churches today that teach all you got to do is believe in Jesus to be saved. He's already a believer, but they're told in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So believers are not saved just because they believe. They've got to repent of their sins and be baptized. And when they do that, they'll get the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost. So until you're baptized, you don't have the forgiveness of sins or the Holy Ghost. Billy Graham said all you got to do is pray to be saved. The Bible teaches you got to be baptized. That's why 1 Peter 3:21 says baptism doth also now save us. It's not saying that baptism is what earns your salvation or that's the grounds of our salvation. That's not what does the trick in that sense. What does the trick in that sense is the death, the blood of Christ. When James 2:24 says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. It's not saying you're justified by faith and works in the sense that's the thing that does the trick, the grounds of your salvation. The grounds of our salvation is the death, the blood of Christ. But what James 2:24 is saying, okay, we already have established what the grounds of our salvation is, the death of Christ. The blood of Christ is what's going to pay for our sins. But what conditions do you have to meet to be saved by the death of Christ? Is it faith only? And James 2:24 makes it clear. No, by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Just like the song says, it takes trust and obedience to be saved by the death, by the blood of Christ. A lot of people say, like Billy Graham, all you got to do is pray a prayer. That's not true. Jesus said, as I said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Galatians 3:26, for y'all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So the way you become a child of God is by being baptized into Christ. You can't become a child of God without being baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:26 and 27. Prove that. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call, the lines are wide open, 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Appreciate you listening. Now, we're talking about believing a lie. Let's talk about some lies that people tell. I'm reading from the Birmingham News in 2003. Well, I'll take this call and we'll get back to that in a minute.
You have a Bible question or comment?
Gary from Mississippi, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, Patrick, I didn't think I would be calling back so soon. Let me preface by saying I really enjoy listening to the broadcast because you really do shed a lot of light on a lot of things, but I think some things are semantical. Let me ask you this question. Do you believe that all ears have heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ?
I can't say for sure, but I don't think so, Gary.
Okay.
I mean, all ears, they're all the living people in all the world? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. All that currently
live. I doubt it. I'm pretty sure there's some people that have not heard the gospel in remote parts of the world.
Okay, real good. For the process of elimination and the sake of supposition, let's just say that that is true, that all individuals have not heard the message of the gospel.
Okay.
So in an emergency, I'll just say, for lack of a better word, an emergency type situation, an individual is convicted of their sin. The Holy Ghost paid visitation. They convicted of their sin. They realize that Jesus Christ truly, let's say, make it relative to the Jews and one other the group you made mention of a little while ago said that they would
Muslims.
Have to come. And the Muslim, okay. Let's say they really have this eye-opening experience, and they really realize that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and they acknowledge that as Paul did when he was had that encounter on the Damascus Road. And let's say they, in their hearts, they truly believe this, and they would have every intention of getting baptized, because I believe when a person that's not baptized, it's disobedience. And if you just plain out just say, I'm not going to do it, that's disobedience. But if the opportunity does not afford itself and that individual subsequently dies or whatever, so by what you're saying, there is no way for that person to inherit eternal life. Am I correct in hearing that from you?
That's exactly what Jesus said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And if I say anything different, I would be calling Jesus a liar. So that's exactly what the truth is. Elizabeth from North Carolina, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, so I was just asking about being baptized. Now, can you be baptized only? Are you able to be baptized only one time and then allow your sins to be forgiven? Or can you be baptized again? Like if you've been sinful and then you need to be baptized again?
No, so you only need to be baptized once. You remember John 3:5, verse 3 says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You got to be born again. And he explains that in verse 5. He says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So baptism is involved in the new birth. Elizabeth, you don't have to be born again and again and again and again. Once you're born again, once you're baptized, then you're going to change your life in regard to sin. But if you sin after that, then a person who's already been baptized, who's already a Christian, they don't have to be baptized again to be forgiven of their sins. Simon the sorcerer sinned in Acts chapter 8, and Peter told him in Acts 8:22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And 1 John 1:9, talking to Christians, Elizabeth, who have sinned, says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So a Christian can be forgiven of his sins without going back and be rebaptized again. He can repent, pray and confess to God his sins that he can be forgiven. Does that answer your question, Elizabeth?
It does. And I have another question.
Okay.
I've been struggling with a sin that I have been convicted on, and I'm trying to figure out, and I'm repenting, but I'm repenting every time. And I'm thinking like, hey, is God, I don't want God to think that I'm taking it as a joke, but my flesh is just struggling with it.
Did you ask a question there, Elizabeth?
Yes. Yeah, so basically, like, how does that work?
Okay.
God understands that my flesh is weak.
If you really and truly and sincerely repented, making up your mind you're going to quit, then God will forgive you. Then maybe you fall back into sin. If you want to be forgiven again, you're going to have to truly and sincerely make up your mind you're going to quit. Okay? God knows your heart if you're sincere. If you just say, I repent, but you're not really committed to trying to quit the sin, you know, you're really going to commit it again, and you know that, then it's not sincere. You can trick, you know, a person, but God's going to know if you're sincere. If you truly repent, like, for example, Peter said in Acts 3:19, repent ye there and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. If you repent, you'll be forgiven, but that has to be sincere. Yes, you may fall back into sin, and then you got to repent again, okay? Does that answer your question?
Okay. Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Monica from New Mexico, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
How are you, Patrick?
Great. Glad to hear from your voice.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, I was going to ask you to review the second marriage divorce thing, but I changed my mind while I was on hold. Would you please speak on testimonies within the church? Has become a popular thing, and I'm just kind of referencing James 5:16. I can't remember if you use a King James Bible. I believe you do. So in the King James Bible, James 5:16 says we should confess our faults one to another. However, in other people's Bibles, it'll say sins, and sins and faults are two completely different things. And then people giving long testimonies, which I've been tempted to do before, and then something kind of stopped me in my tracks. It's like, ugh, who would want to hear any of that, you know, any of that? It would be horrifying. So could you please speak on that?
So I believe that the word fault here in James 5:16 is used synonymously with sins. Confess your sins or confess your faults one to another. So if you've sinned publicly, then I could see that it would be a very good idea, and let me say that with a caveat, that you confess your sins publicly, because everybody needs to know that you've repented if you've committed your sins publicly. But I will say this. 1 Corinthians 14:34-35 says this. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home for the shame for women to speak in the church. So if a woman has sinned publicly and it's needful that she confess it publicly, okay, then I would suggest that she just tell it to one of the men and let one of the men in the assembly speak for the woman and say, here's the sin that she's confessing and that she's repenting of. Or the other option would be to dismiss the services and then let the woman confess her sins. Mm-hmm. But most sins, you don't have to confess before others. You can, if it's a good idea. Most sins are done in private. You just confess it to mm-hmm. God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9, talking to a Christian. But a guy could see definitely if there's a sin committed in public, everybody needs to know that you've repented. Okay? But we have to be careful okay. there because the women are not to speak in the church.
Right.
Okay.
It's just that I was under the impression no corrupt communications should proceed from our mouths. So now you're dividing sin into either public or private. If you look in a Bible Strong's Concordance, the Greek word sin and fault, I mean, they are two different words. So I was under the impression, like if I say, you know, get into an argument or have a short temper at work, that I could confess that fault to a fellow Christian. However, a sin would be confessed to God alone. I hadn't thought of it from your angle, which you're saying if you committed the sin in public.
Well, like, let's say, for example, I'm just thinking of an example where the man and the woman were caught on the kiss cam. Do you remember that in the news mm-hmm. about a year ago? The kiss cam, there was some kind of concert. They were not married to each other, and they were caught on a kiss cam. So everybody knows that they've been doing something they shouldn't do. And so I could see that woman and the man should confess their sins publicly because everybody knows, and everybody needs to know that they've repented. Okay? A sin like that I'm talking about.
Yes. Okay, that makes sense.
But may not be a good example for you because you're not remembering what I'm talking about, the kiss cam, where the woman and the man who weren't married, but they worked at the same company, got caught on camera at a concert or something.
It's still a good example of a public thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can see a public sin like that needs to be confessed publicly because the reason is everybody needs to know you're repenting. If you just confess that to God, which is what you're supposed to do to be forgiven, then how the other people, if they know that you sin, everybody in the church knows you sin, how are they going to know you repented? Unless you tell them. Okay?
Okay.
But if the sin is private, you wouldn't need to do that. Right?
Yes, understood. Do you want to review the second marriage thing, divorce?
In Matthew 19:9, we could start there, but we can go to other passages. Jesus said, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Now, I'm going to see if you agree with me, Monica. I'm going to put some names on this. Okay, I've been married to Carol for 37 years, happily married. If Carol were to cheat on me sexually with another man, then this verse, Jesus, has given me the right to divorce her and to marry another. Let's call her Betty, the second marriage. But if she doesn't cheat on me, if I divorce her for any other reason, God does not approve of that divorce. And if I marry, say a second marriage, let's call it Betty, Jesus calls it adultery. I'm going to read it again, the first part of this verse. Whoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. Am I reading that right, Monica?
Yes.
What do you think? Do you agree with me?
I agree with you. It's just that, so are you saying that a lot of people are in second and third marriages? And it's, you know that. I mean, divorce just kind of became this
it's rampant.
Like,
if two gay men are married, Monica, two gay men are married, can they just say, I'm sorry, God, forgive us, but we're going to stay in this sexual relationship, or they have to terminate the marriage?
Terminate.
It's obvious. They have to terminate the marriage. That's mm-hmm. what repentance would require. You got to repent to be forgiven. So if somebody's in a second or third marriage, they're going to have to repent to be forgiven. And repentance means they're going to quit the sin. That means they're going to have to terminate that marriage. I'm going to have to go off the air. Appreciate your call, Monica, okay?
Thank you.
If you would like to have a free one-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753.